But so we're gonna start with Chavetz Chaim. Well, up to day 24. So now it's getting scary. Now we're speaking about the Chavetz Chaim, goes through a few of the Torah's cursing. The person could make themselves, you know, get for themselves by speaking Lashon Hara in order that to weaken our Yetzer Hara to speak Lashon Hara. Get us a dollar more to Hashem, help us not speak Lashon Hara. So this is the conclusion of the introduction. The pasuk says, "Aru Maker Eva Sefer." Cursed is the one who strikes his fellow in secret. Right, not so good to get cursed from Hashem. Cursed is the one who strikes his fellow in secret. And Rashi explains, the speaker this is referring to, a speaker of Lashon Hara. What happened? Reuben tells Shimon something bad about Levi. So basically, he's striking his fellow in secret. Right? How do you strike your fellow in secret? If you took a hammer and hit your friend over the head, he's not in secret. He knew he just got hit. Now, how do you strike your friend in secret? How's that possible? The Torah tells you, curses the person who strikes his friend. How do you strike your friend in secret? So Rashi, what's it referring to? Referring to striking your friend in secret by speaking Lashon Hara about him and putting his name down or backing him, taking him out of business. Which means Reuben goes over to Shimon and tells him Lashon Hara about Levi. So you're striking down Levi in secret. Levi doesn't know about it, but in essence, you're knocking him down. Right? Either not. So therefore, and the Torah says, I'm very scared, it says, curse. Hashem says, you want to be cursed. It's not to be good to be cursed from Hashem. It's not be disconnected from Hashem, not for your spirituality. You have all curses and all type of issues and problems. So, Rashi says, he's referring to someone who speaks Lashon Hara. When he whispers derogatory information about others in private, is the subject of this verse. Another curse is if a person takes a specific commandment and decides to ignore this commandment. There's a lot of commandments, you know, that I could deal with them. And some of them, I just can't deal with them, I'm just going to ignore them. Then he is concluded of the curse. Arur asher lo yakim et kol divrei azot lasot otam. Cursed is he who does not uphold the words of this Torah to do them. Not only that, someone who officially disregards the halakhs of Lashon Hara for whatever reason, maybe too hard for him, or just, you know, he, for whatever reason, he's considered a chazal, they call a person, a rebel with regard to one sin, which is a very bad thing. Even if someone is a rebel with regard to one sin, we say he's a rebel to all the sins, we consider him a rebel to everything. So if you could pick and choose what you want to do, you're not a real soldier in Hashem's army. So basically, it's as if he's saying, Hashem, you give me many, many important things to do. Shabbos, kashrus, Torah studies. The Shmiras HaLashon just doesn't fit into my lifestyle. I can't do it. And regarding this attitude, the Chavetz Chaim says, Gadol Avinu Minasoh, his sin is too great to be born. Like the Torah says, in Bereishis 4:13, the expression used for only very severe sins. Chavetz Chaim concludes, I ask you, my dear reader, to read and reread this introduction, because more than anything else, it will help you succeed with Shmiras HaLashon. He wants to read and reread this section. If everybody wants on their own, they can read and reread this introduction referring to all the negative commandments and positive commandments and curses. One can easily
you're reading all over yourself. Read, reading all over yourself.
What is it? Again, this is only he's just telling you.
No, he's not. What?
He's talking secret. He's says Lashon Hara. He's over on
a curse that says. Cursed is he who strikes his fellow in secret. The other one was, cursed is the one who does not uphold the words of this Torah.
It's like he ignores that one mitzvah.
Even if he just ignores one mitzvah, it's right. You think the pasuk means you have to ignore the whole Torah. No, it's not what it means. Chazal say, right. So you would think it means all. But Chazal say, that's not what it means. You would think that it means cursed is he who does not uphold the words, says all the words of the Torah. So it doesn't mean he doesn't withhold every single one of them. It means you don't withhold all of them, meaning if you don't withhold even one of them, then you're cursed. It says, cursed is he who doesn't uphold all of this Torah, all 613 commandments, which means if you only keep 612, that's the curse. Cursed is he who doesn't keep all 613. Right? Meaning, Abraham wants to learn it. He wants to be easy. He wants to learn. Cursed is he who doesn't agree with all of it, meaning who doesn't do any of it. They say it's not what it means. It means cursed is he who doesn't uphold, doesn't say cursed is he who transgresses all 613. It says cursing you doesn't uphold all 613. As much as we can. No, we do. Chazal say, hey, you can do it. If you learn it, if you do, if you,
what,
if you hold it, if you learn that law, because Chazal says, can't do. Shem says, you learn about it, says, if you do it. That's what Chazal say. That's what, it's possible to, in a certain way, to keep all 613 mitzvahs. They all ask that question. We have 240, right? We have Ramach of Sagimim, and the Tikkun is to Ramach mitzvah say, Shalai Sase. It's impossible. I'm not a Kohen. I don't have this. I don't have Kalitza. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Right? How's it possible? So the Teretz is, when Hashem says, the way you pay up by speaking out when you learn the Sugyas, it says, if Hashem says, as if you're doing it because you're learning it with the Ratzim to fulfill it, you want to fulfill it, I just can't. I'm not a Kohen. I'm the Mitzvah Mikdash. You get the Mitzvah. That's why, especially the Mitzvah we can't keep, they say we're supposed to learn. A lot of times, the Mitzvah we can't keep, we don't learn. Ben Shmai says, Dafka, about the Karbanas, all these things we should learn. So we get those mitzvahs, right, Rabbi Yosef?
Yeah.
People think the things that aren't relevant to me, I don't have to learn. The opposite. The things that aren't relevant to me, I should learn to fill my neshama up with getting those aspects. When you learn it, it's as if you fulfill it a certain extent. So we should learn the things that karbanas and to fill up our neshama. Okay?
Yeah.
When someone says to himself, he's aslan.
Aslan? Yeah.
It's, lazy. It's lazy.
Yeah, you're not allowed to listen about yourself. It's awesome.
You can't say, no?
You can't say, I'm lazy. Can't say, I'm lazy.
Good,
unless he's talking to Hashem. You shouldn't tell other people, unless for a specific purpose. Time, you shouldn't tell people, I'm lazy. You're not allowed to listen about yourself also. You're also a Jew. You're Jewish? You can't say, listen about any Jew. You're not allowed to listen about yourself. Oh, it's a specific purpose you want to help you out, but I'm struggling with it. This time you can't say Lashon Hara about yourself. You can't say, oh, I'm so lazy. Okay, when you're talking to Hashem, you can talk to Hashem about your problem. You tell other people, you can't tell Lashon Hara about yourself. You can't speak Lashon Hara to any Jew. I'm Jewish. That's halacha. You can't say Lashon Hara about yourself. It's very bad. I know it's a bad thing, but that's halacha. Some people do it. Some people have a habit saying, I'm so lazy, I'm so this, I'm so that. I'm going to feel better by telling people if they're so lazy. Fine. Now we're going to start the Gemara on Chesed Beis. We're going to try to start the Gemara on Chesed Beis, learn the beginning of this Gemara.
Okay, where are we holding?
We're holding on 8B. Mesechta Machlokes is 8B, as in Bumblebee, and we're holding by the fourth line of the Gemara.
B
as in B-A. Fine. So now, the Gemara is going to... Basically, what's this Gemara going to do now? It's an interesting Gemara. Our Gemara is going to bring a lot of the dialect we had on the Gemara on Chesam and Aleph on the page before. However, we're going to say that the basis, where we, the starting point of the conversation was a different starting point. We're going to end up flowing into the same dialect which we had between the Rabbanan and Rava, Ravina, introduction to the mitzvah, this and that. Right? We're going to go over those concepts again. Those concepts are going to kind of the same. But the starting point, and the starting point of the conversation, why we brought in that whole back and forth, is a different starting point. Which means, like, there's something interesting happening. Two people have a Masorah of this conversation, and they, each one of them was saying that this original conversation was based on a different topic. The basis of this whole conversation, started, the starting point, was on a different topic, right? Yesterday's Gemara, on Chesed Aleph, we say, we started off on the Gemara, talking about halacha, that if someone kills someone, only if they were in the middle of doing a personal act, they go to Galus, and not by doing a mitzvah. They were in a rubber, or being in preparation for a mitzvah, back and forth, fine. Now this person said, no, you heard wrong. I was in the same shir. You must have been sleeping and dreaming about a different Gemara, and then you thought this whole dialect happened. I heard, when I was this conversation, was on a totally different topic. It ended up the same dialect, but just, the topic was different. The other person said, no, you were sleeping and shir. I heard it. And, but basically, it's interesting. You know, so we Gemara is like this. And we're like, it's a whole different world. Not like a little bit different. The whole different world. The starting point. The whole different halakha altogether. It happens to be a very interesting halakha, which is coming up for next year. It's talking about halakha Shemitah. The halakha is a Shemitah. We're talking about halakha, which actually is applying right now. The halakha we're going to talk about soon actually is starting to be applicable right now. As we speak. Ika demasinah. There are those that learn this conversation and this back and forth between Rabbanan and Rava, Ravina, this whole thing, was how it was going on this topic. This is where it was going. We have a pasuk in the Torah. It says the following: "Bacharish ubakatzir tishpas." From plowing, bacharish. Yeah, you got the chana. You got your pencil. Bacharish from plowing, ubakatzir, and from reaping, from cutting down, tishpas. You should rest. That's the pasuk, right? Bacharish ubakatzir from plowing, from reaping. You should rest. Don't plow your field and don't cut down. You should rest. Now, if we look in the fancy Gemaras, we're not fancy, we look at the Torah. What's this pasuk say? It should be in your fancy Gemara, the pasuk base.
I don't have
to. Okay, so now, so you listen. You'll just open your ears and your heart and listen. Sheshes Yamim Tavot. The pasuk said like this. It comes from Shemais Lamedat of Alp. So we're going to get a Chumash in the room, so you'll have to use the Chumash. We'll use fancy Gemaras. It says Shemais Lamedat. 34 Chaf Al 21. What does it say? Sheshes Yamim Tavon, work for 6 days. Ubayom Hashvi, on the seventh day, Tishbos rest. Becharish Ubakasir, from plowing and harvesting, Tishbos you should rest. Right?
So, 7 days, 7 years.
So if you were a simple guy, you would tell me, this pasuk says you should work for 6 days and rest on the seventh day. What's it referring to?
Shabbos.
If you're a simpleton like me, you would think, read this pasuk in Chumash, we're reading Shnai Mikra, it sounds like 6 days you should work. Seventh day you should rest. It sounds like Shabbos. However, here's the catch. Continue the pasuk. Don't stop doing Shnai Mikra. Keep on going. Rest from what? What do you have to rest from? From plowing and from harvesting. Now, is that talking about Shabbos?
Yeah, but from plowing and from harvesting, it's not talking about Shabbos.
Chanan, could this be Shabbos? 6 days work, 7 days rest. But what should you rest from? From two things. Just from planting and from plowing and from harvesting. Could that be Shabbos? No. Shabbos, we know we have 39 malachas that are asr. Not just planting and harvesting. So, it can't be talking about Shabbos. Even though we would read it as going on Shabbos, it can't be. Nachon? Can't be. That's what Rashi explains. Can't be, it's going on Shabbos. So what must be going on? What else? We have 6 and the 7th you rest?
Shemitah.
However, what's the problem with that? There's another problem. I already have a different pasuk that already gives me the whole rundown for Shemitah. So I don't need this pasuk for Shemitah either. So it can't be talking about Shabbos. It doesn't make sense. You tell me only plowing and harvesting is awesome. I don't need it to go on Shemitah. So I already have the whole different pasuk, which you might as well bring in a second, which we're going to bring soon, that says, which your fancy Gemara will be a pasuk Gimel. It says, Ubashana, very clearly, blatantly. It's a pasuk comes from Bayikra Chafei Dal. Bashana Hashvi, it's on the 7th year. Shabbos Shabbos, and should be a resting. Yel, or should be for the land. Shabbos Lashem, a resting for Hashem. Sadacha, your field, Lo Tizra, don't plant. The Chamachan, your vineyard, Lo Tizmar, don't prune it, which also means like don't, you know, get it going. So that's the pasuk for the 7th year. So again, I have a pasuk here from Shemais. It says 6 days work, 7th day rest, and rest from what? From plowing and harvest. From plowing and harvest. Now, who am I? That's the question of the day. What's this pasuk referring to? It can't be referring to Shabbos. Why not? Why can't it be referring to Shabbos?
Plowing and harvesting, because that takes more than a day.
Because there's much more things that are usher on Shabbos. Here you tell me the only thing you should rest from in this pasuk is two things. Chanan, could I be talking about Shabbos?
You can talk about Shabbos? No, you can't.
Okay, because Shabbos
you can't. You can't talk about the fire, you can't the shkita, you can't the choices that separate the rare, you can't do anything. So why would it always, if you talk about Shabbos, it was all the mockers.
Yeah. Now, could it be, now, do I need it to tell me the halacha of Shemitah? No. I have a full-fledged, clear pasuk.
But you know what's that?
We know halacha of Shemitah from the Yikra Chafei. It says the whole very clearly, 7th day rest, let the land rest. Rest, don't plant, don't this. So I don't need it for Shemitah either. So what's it coming from? A new halacha, which we'll see.
But for kashrus, they emphasize 3 different places that you should keep kosher, such as not cooking a kid in mother's milk.
That's true. Fine.
So the emphasis is that they're saying it 3 different times, so to really emphasize that you really need to do this.
So
they're emphasizing 3 different times, 3 different places.
It's emphasized 3 times to teach me 3 different halachas. Over here, it's not teaching to emphasize the very... The Torah never says anything extra. Over there, it's different. Over there, one time it's telling you shouldn't eat milk and milk, meat and milk. The other time it's telling you don't prepare milk, meat and milk together.
Right.
Right? Don't eat it, don't cook it. Don't eat it.
Don't slaughter the
and don't benefit from it.
That's
the halacha. So every time it's not reiterating the same halacha. Each time is for a different halacha. One time it's telling you don't eat it, one time it's saying you don't prepare it, and one time it's teaching you don't benefit. But over here, the Torah never says anything twice for no reason.
But for Shemitah, you could do the same logic. You're not benefiting from
you can't benefit from selling the produce.
And you can't plow or reap or harvest during the year. You have to let the land lay plow.
No, it's around now. You're allowed to benefit from it. Just you can't be the owner of it.
That's what I'm saying. It's heftier.
Fine, but you could benefit. There's no Isser. You're allowed to benefit from Shemitah. There's only Isser to work the land. You could eat Shemitah fruits, right? You can't work the land.
Right, but you can't sell them.
You could. That's not because you can't benefit. That means you have to just make them heftier. But it's allowed to have benefit from it. You're allowed to eat them.
Right, but you can't own them.
Fine, say it, but that's all one halacha. There's one halacha, Shemitah, don't plant it. It's owner, make your field ownerless. Just give it up to Hashem, have a munah, and that's all. So now, out of that halacha will come a lot of things you can't sell anymore. It's one halacha. Don't make it hefker, you make your field hefker, don't plant it, don't plant it. So Al-Gumar wants to know, why do you need a second pasuk? So let's see inside Al-Gumar. Let's see the fourth line. Ika de Mathlila. There are those that learn this conversation between Rabbana, Rava, and Ravina that we had on the earlier page, how they learn it on this. Which we'll get eventually. We'll get to where it comes in. Probably not today. We have a pasuk becharish ubekatzer tishbos. This is a quote from the pasuk. These three words: becharish ubekatzer. Becharish is to plow, charisha. Becatzer to har la katzar, to reaping, cutting it down. Tishbos should rest. That's the pasuk, right? Now the question is, what does this pasuk mean? So what's the problem? So let's see Rashi. Rashi will say what we just explained. Let's see Rashi. Ika demasila. Ika demasila laha. Some learn this to Amrle Hahu Merabana, that this person for the Rabbanan said La Rava to Rava, the ha and this to Isir Ravina, and this Ravina asked the question, this whole dialogue. Aha, what's going on this? What's going on this topic? What are we referring to? Ain Sarah Leimar Kharish the Katzer Shoshvias. We do not need the pasuk to tell me plowing and harvesting on Shemitah. Because I have a pasuk already, let's see Rashi. The Al Karcha were forced to say, "B'Shvius the Shemitah Hakasa Medav." That on Shvius, on the seventh year of Shemitah, the pasuk is referring to. Why? The Ikedachsev. If you just read the pasuk the way it's written, the Ayoyim Hashvi'i Kai, it's going on the seventh day. Actually, right? It's like the pasuk really says 6 days. It says on the seventh day you should rest. If it really means Shabbos. On the seventh day you should rest. It can't be. Maishta Kharish Vakatsa Dinata. Why are you only saying you're not allowed to plant and harvest? Ella rather Rashi says Hachikar. This is what it must mean to say. Sheishas Yamim Tavit. 6 days. Sheishas Yamim Tavit. Meaning Ubashvi is Tishva. Which really means 6 years you should rest, work, and the seventh day you should rest. Fahashishi Shata Oivid. But on the seventh day when you rest, Bakharish Vakatsa Tishva. You should rest from plowing. Let's see the Gemara inside. So now we have a question. What in the world do I do with this pasuk? Becharish v'katzer tishbos. Here, Byron, what do I do with this pasuk? Let's hear it. We're going to have an argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What do I do with this pasuk? What do I use this pasuk for? Can't be talking about Shabbos. Can't be talking about Shmita. Rabbi Akiva, I'm great. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, I'm the holy Rabbi Akiva. After 40 years old, he came to learn Torah. He's ready in the Gemara. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva, I'm there. In the Tzarek Limer, you don't need to tell me. Charish shal shvius. You never tell you you're not allowed to plow on shvius, the cutter shal shvius, or reap on shvius. I don't need it. Why? Shari could go home. Kvar nema. I already said in a pasuk. Sadcha loy tizra. Your field you should not plant. The chamach loy tizmar. Shall not. Your vineyard should not prune. So I don't need this pasuk, Becharish v'katzer, to teach me Hilcha Shemitah. So again, I don't need it to teach me that you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. But it doesn't make sense. Because you only told me here you can't do 2 malachas. On Shabbos you can't do 39. So it's not gold on Shabbos. That's out. Not a good option. Next option, maybe it's referring to Shemitah. I already have a pasuk telling me all the halachas are Shemitah. So I don't need a fifth to tell me that halacha. So what else am I left with? What could this pasuk be teaching me? What's my choices over here? What does the pasuk say? It says 6 days work and the seventh day rest. Let me say it's talking about Shabbos. Why can't it be talking about Shabbos, this pasuk?
It's the 39 halachas.
The 39 halachas. Because here it only said two halachas, right? And the Shabbos, there's 39. So it can't be talking about Shabbos. Oh, this is X. Can't be talking. Maybe it's talking about Shemitah. Why can't he talk about Shemitah? I already have a pasuk. I have a pasuk that tells me don't plant, don't this, don't that. It tells me a full-fledged pasuk. I already have a pasuk. So also, I already have a pasuk. Right? I already have a pasuk that teaches me. So I can't be knowing this. I can't be talking about Shemitah. So what in the world is pasuk talking about?
Yodel.
It doesn't say 50. Say, add me something that you work on the 6th, you rest on the 7th.
Okay.
What's this pasuk teaching me then? What's pasuk teaching you? You work the 6th. You worked on the 6th, but now in the 7th. Not Shabbos. What else do we have 6th and 7th? What can we talk to you about? So what's it doing? Why did you say it really is referring to a certain halacha in Shemitah? So what's it referring to? The pasuk is telling me the following. 6 days for work. The 7th, for 6 years, you should work. The 7th day, you should rest. However, here's the catch. There are certain scenarios, even in the 6th year, you shouldn't work. What? If by plowing now in the 6th year, it's going to help to benefit my field to the 7th year, it's that type of product, right? It's that type of produce. Then there's no reason to plow for now. The sole purpose of plowing now, right now, let's say these months of the 6th year, is to benefit the 7th year. That's also usher. So now, farmers, if whoever wants to keep Shemitah, they got to start certain farmers. I don't know exactly. They have books on different things. I don't know exactly all the produce. But there are certain things the farmers need to stop working from now. It's not just the farmers to stop working in the 7th year. The farmer is the type of produce that if you plow now, will help it grow in 3 months, he's not allowed to start plowing now. It's just to stop working really from now.
So we have, 5 months till Rosh Hashanah?
No, it's not 5 months. Let's see what the time was. Oh, 4 months.
4 months.
Less than 4 months. Three months and less than 4 months. So if you have produce, that the way it works is, the process is you start planting now in the next month or two. And it will help grow the next year's stuff grow. Then you can, or pruning, let's say if you start pruning certain things right now, it's different then it'll be awesome. I think it's come more closer to the summer, maybe like 2 months before. Like another month or two, then it'll be like more practical. More like that certain farms already stop working. It's not just the farm stops working in the year of Shemitah.
Grapes?
I don't know exactly if they have books on it. I don't know any books on Shemitah. Our school has a lot of good books in English. So not familiar.
What are you trying to teach us? That the Shemitah is, the our school I think says that the Shemitah is the mitzvah. So is this in preparation, is this connected to the mitzvah or not?
Of course connected to the mitzvah. We're explaining to you. You think like a regular guy, Shemitah is, the 7th year don't work. I'm telling you no. Usually.
That's the mitzvah, 7th year.
That's it. But we're telling you no. Sometimes, even in the 6th year, you're not going to work because of Shemitah.
And that's connected, that's part of the mitzvah.
That's not working the 6th year is part of resting on Shemitah. Because by me working now, it's the only purpose of my work now is it should benefit the world feeling Shemitah, it's not letting my field rest in Shemitah. So some of that I have to stop working now in order that I can rest on my field can rest on Shemitah. Understand? It's good? So
why can't you come work for your circle? Why can't work for your circle is not
Right now, we're saying that you can't compare. So again, the public says 6 days work, 6 years work, the 7th day rest, right? What does that mean? Six years work and the 7th day rest. But here's my disclaimer. There are certain times, what?
Disclaimer.
There are certain times, even the 6th year you can't work. That you have to, Chavish Makatsa Tishpas, you can't even plow even in the 6th year, but it's not the 7th year, no. It's going to benefit the 7th year, and by plowing now, it's going to disturb my 7th year, my fields from resting during the 7th year. You're not. And also, it's going to work the other way. So it says you're not allowed to plow, and also you're not allowed to harvest. How would harvesting affect my 7th year?
The 8th year.
In a scenario where it'll be the 8th year. So we're saying, what's this 6 years work? 7th year rest. Now, if we said, but make sure to rest. For plowing and harvesting. So I have to work from plowing when? In the sixth year, right? So not only when do I have to rest from plowing? In the sixth year. Anything in the sixth year, right? The sixth year, that's going to affect, right, the seventh year. That you're not allowed to do. That's the Pasuk telling me. What does it tell me? What the end of the Pasuk tells me, from plowing and from harvesting rest. So what is it referring to? It's plowing is referring to the sixth year. Plowing is, when should I rest? When should I rest from plowing? The sixth year when it's going to affect the seventh year. And when do I have to rest from reaping?
Harvesting,
reaping. That reaping. That's going to be
the seventh year.
That's going to be in the eighth year. In the eighth year, anything that at least, how much grew, at least one third grew during the seventh year. That old, let's say, farmer is a farmer. He rests in the seventh year. He's a good guy. He goes to the Shemitah kollels they have. He's learning. He's studying. Shemitah's over. He says, back to work. So he's going to go outside. As you see, he has a lot of sregim that grew this over through. A lot of sregim is coming, sukkahs. Let me start picking my sregim. Let's start selling. Make a lot of money. Right? But since those sregim, more than a third grew during the seventh year, that's considered a Shemitah fruit. So you are not allowed to harvest that fruit. It's considered Shemitah's hefker. You can start picking. A classic example is, you can start picking the sregim and start charging everybody $50 an esrog right now, right? From that thing. Because more than a third of it grew during the 18th. So, it's what's it saying? A 6 years rest. 6 years work. The 7th year rest. However, on the 6th year, oh, that wasn't what I said. From plowing, rest. From plowing, hard reaping, rest. Whether the rest from plowing, that's during the 6th year, and affect the 7th year. Whether at the rest from reaping, the 8th year, if it grew, in a severe degree, it grew at least one third or more during the 7th year. Then it was best as Chazal and Sukkot of Sukkot. So we had an extra pasuk. This pasuk, you rest from plowing and reaping, right? This is the pasuk. It's not referring to Shabbos. It's not, and I don't need it for Shemitah. I already have a full body pasuk. No, it's going for this. These two halachas. And Chazal understood these two halachas. So far, that's Rabbi Akiva. That's even before we got into Rabbi Shmuel.
So you're talking about a time period of almost a year and a half.
It could be more longer. Everything's different. Could be even longer.
Depending on what you're planning.
Depending on what you're planning. So the Hashirim, they look into it. Very well, what you're planning. It's good. What do you say, Rabbi Aaron?
I'm trying to figure out how this dovetails into accidentally killing somebody.
It's not going to be an accident killing somebody. It's going to get into the fact of preparing for a mitzvah. And we'll get to it. We'll get it soon. You have to wait and see. You can cheat. You have art. You have Gemara. You can cheat. You have art scroll.
Even tomorrow. That's
right. We're going to have to wait until Shabbos, because tomorrow they're going to the Zoshir tomorrow. They're going to the cemetery for Common Aspen. They're leaving here at 9:30. The team is leaving 9:30 tomorrow.
Sure.
What time will you come back? Tomorrow?
They said 1:30. Fine. Let's continue. Fine. So we had an extra, so let's see the Gemara again. So I'm going to start from the beginning of the Gemara. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top, the first word on line. B'charish u'b'katzer tishpas. We have an extra pasuk, right? From plowing and from reaping, you should rest. So now, what in the world is pasuk referring to? Rabbi Akiva says, Enu tarif lamai doesn't have to say charish shal shvias, that you're not allowed to plow during shvias. The katzer shal shvias, you're not allowed to reap during shvias. Why? Shrek and behold, Kvar Nemar already says it. I have a pasuk that says, "Sadefa lo tezra." Don't plant the kind of this one. Elo, rather, what's it coming to teach me? Afilu charishal erev shviyis. Even if you plow in the 6th year, shenichnas lo shviyis, which will enter, which means the benefits will enter into the 7th year. That you're not allowed to do. That you have to rest. Or katzir shal shviyis, when you're cutting down in shmita. Right, you have something that you want to cut down, something that grew during Shemitah, their 7th year, and it extends, it goes out till the 8th year. That also you're not allowed to do. Got there, Rabbi? So if that's the case, that's Rabbi Akiva. You got the Chanan? What's the Bible telling you? You can't plow or harvest. You can't plow in the 6th year. You
can't harvest the 8th year.
And you can't harvest the 8th year, something that grew at least a third in the 7th year. good. So that's the Bali referring to. So it's going, talking for according to Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, according to Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva. This verse is referring to Shemitah. Good, referring to Shemitah. Come to Rabbi Shema, says, no! Why jump to the conclusion? It's the public says 6 days work and 7 day rest. I would much rather explain the pasuk is going on the Shabbos. So don't give it Shabbos. That's what I would much rather. That's what Yishma says. It's referring to Shabbos. Now we're going to come more to our sugi early. Yeah, he said no. Chana told us in the beginning. What does the pasuk sound like it's referring to? Shabbos or Shemitah? It says 6 days work and 7 day rest. Let's say 6 years. So what would be the simple pshat? What's it referring to? Rabbi Aaron, what's it referring to?
Shabbos.
We just said it because it doesn't make sense, because there's much more things to answer. Come here, Shabbos, relax. I'm going to work it out for you. Really, of course, I know 39 halachas are answer on Shabbos. I know that. I understand. But over here, you're trying to teach me a new halach. What are you trying to teach me? That Charish, which is voluntary, plowing, which is always voluntary, is usher, you're not allowed to plow on Shabbos voluntarily.
So too,
you're also not allowed to reap on Shabbos, but that's also going to be voluntary. Let's have a scenario where it's a mitzvah to reap. Where's ever a mitzvah to reap something to cut me down?
Omer.
We know Karban Omer, the day after Pesach, the first day Pesach in Israel. Matzah Pesach right away, the guys go out to cut the harvest, the first barley, right? And then they grind it up in a certain amount, and they bring it for a carbon the next day. The carbon Omer is brought the next day. That's the carbon Omer, right? So, let's say, it doesn't really kind of easy. Let's say the first day of Pesach was Friday. Thursday night, Friday is Pesach, right? So when are you supposed to cut the carbon Omer? When would it usually fall out?
Shabbos,
Friday night. If Friday was Yom Tov, right? Friday's the first day of Pesach, correct? When are you supposed to cut the Karban Omer?
Friday night. Actually, Saturday morning.
Friday night. You cut it Friday night, you bring the Karban the next morning. You cut it Friday night. When do you cut it? Friday night, nachon? Why are you looking at me so crazy? Good?
So how do you cut it in the dark?
They cut it, they flash it. They cut it right in with the shoes, they bring the cars. Yeah, they can slash it also. They'll cut the Karban Omer, they can do whatever they need to do. And that's a good question. Maybe they didn't wear it by candlelight. They knew.
Or cut it during, they couldn't.
They cut it. I don't know. Okay. It's they cut okay. It. I don't know how they cut it. It's a good question. Maybe they had,
Full moon.
Right. Oh, so you're right. How do you have the full moon then? Right. It's going to be 15. Oh, it's a good answer. At least your summons in the clouds. Fine. So he says, referring to Shabbos. What's it referring to? Shabbos. That was a positive teaching. So what's that like? So Tamid HaChavim, what do you say? Could I cut the Karban Omer on Shabbos? Friday night, should we cut it now? This is when the final act is here. Should we cut it or not cut it? Every year, the halach is, right after Matzah Pesach, right after the first day of Pesach, that night, right after you finish your Seder, you finish everything, the next night, you go and you cut the Omer, right? Well, that's when we can start counting Sefiras Omer. That's right when they will cut the Omer, right then. Right? So now, are you allowed to cut it this Friday night or not? So Aaron said, no, it's Shabbos. You can't cut it Shabbos. Wait till Matzah Shabbos. I don't know. You wait a little bit. You can't cut it. Right? That's what I would also say. Come to Rishmal and says, that's what I need this pasuk for. I have the extra pasuk that I don't know what to do with. I'm totally messed up. I was talking about clown. We're reaping the 60 or 80. He says, no, it's talking Shabbos. The pasuk says, David is talking about Shabbos. I don't look for the Kiva to Shabbos. Come to Rishmal and says, it's referring to Shabbos. So what's he teaching? It says you have to rest from plowing and harvesting. What's it telling you? Just like plowing, there's never ever a mitzvah to plow on Shabbos. There's no mitzvah ever to plow. The Torah tells me rest from plowing, right? But what's that? Plowing when? When it's voluntary. So too when it says to also rest from reaping. It shouldn't always. It has to be a flow. It's also referring to reaping voluntarily. But like we said in the before, but what's that to the exclusion of? It said like this, you're not allowed to reap, you're not allowed to plow, you're referring to voluntarily, right? Because it's never a mitzvah, has to be. You're not allowed to plow voluntarily. So you're not allowed to reap. Also, voluntarily. To the exclusion of, what's the exclusion of? But it's a mitzvah. If I have a mitzvah, then I'm allowed to. If the korban omer, I have to cut it Friday night, I'm allowed to cut it. That's what this pasuk is teaching me. It's referring to Shabbos. 6 days of work, 7th day rest. And because of
Tishbosh,
from plowing and harvesting, you should rest. Meaning what? We're trying to give you an example of things that are voluntary. Plowing and harvesting, rest when it's voluntary.
Right.
To the exclusion of what it is, a mitzvah. Now we're starting to remember the Gemara from earlier. But so when you kill it, when you were chopping voluntarily, and you killed it, what's the problem? When, and you have to go to Galut, you killed it, you have to go to Galut, that's when it's voluntarily. To the exclusion, if you're doing the mitzvah, you don't go to Galut. That's what we say. So now we're doing the same thing. Comes Rosh Hashanah and says, when do we say you're not allowed to harvest and plow and harvest? On Friday or Shabbos, it's only when it's voluntary. To the exclusion, it's the mitzvah, like the carbon armor, then you should plow. Now it's
reaping.
Now it's bringing us back on.
Reaping.
The exclusion of reaping for the Omer when it's a mitzvah. Then you carbon, when you're reaping the carbon Omer, then you're allowed to do it. So now we're starting to feel back our Gemara. We're starting to get back into it.
Yeah.
But there's another thing.
It's not supporting. We didn't get it in a second. Wait, it's not anything. We just brought it down. Wait, we wasn't bringing it where it came in. So far it's identical. So far it's identical Gemara as it just in a different halakha.
Because the other thing is, you have to do it on Shabbos so that you counteract the influence of the Siddiqui that says you have to bring the Omer Yom Rishon.
That's a different story. But that's not what, in this case, but that would be a good enough reason why would you do it then. So Chazal didn't tell you to be Mechal Shabbos just to outdo the Siddiqui.
Well, we like Chazal Arab. A lot of things we did on Shabbos. We used to blow Shabbos on Shabbos. We used to blow Shabbos. We used to
so what?
I'm just saying, it makes sense that's why you, it says
yeah,
you
need a pasuk.
You need a pasuk.
You need a pasuk.
You need a pasuk.
But you need a pasuk because really, you could say push off this mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Meaning, shofar, if you didn't do it today, you can't do it tomorrow. So for Shoshana Shabbos, no choice. And this, I'll tell you, I would think, tell it to wait. I'm not. Usually, we tell you doing a Shabbos, you're going to lose the mitzvah. You understand? Today's Rosh Hashanah. Then I
you're 2 days Rosh Hashanah.
But even if I understand, but there's not going to be Rosh Hashanah tomorrow, correct? So with here, you'll tell me. You have to blow Rosh Hashanah, it will not get Shabbos. But over here, that's always the rule. If you could do something after Shabbos, why should you have to desecrate Shabbos? Do it tomorrow.
But grabbing the Omer, you have to have
to. That's the finish.
You use that as the.
No, but who said it's a
kind of.
Who said. In this case, maybe the Torah, maybe I'll tell you that. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's only when it's a weekday. Who said when
because
it's Shabbos?
We're still talking about vegan on Friday.
I understand. But who said to me, who said it over that mitzvah over will override Shabbos? You're telling me it's simple to you. Because the Torah says, maybe this year, we want a 15th day, maybe Hashem would rather keep Shabbos, and this year, you have 49 days. Who told us? You need a puzzle, because that's what's simple. It's not so simple to just to desecrate Shabbos. Just even if it's a mitzvah. You need a limud, you need sukkah. You have a whole sukkah, you have asay, one asay, one strong word. Shabbos is very strong. Shabbos is asay and a los asay. Usually the rule is, Shabbos has asay to an los asay. Another asay can't knock it out. Unless you have special psukkah. Instead, it's very strong. It's a negative command.
So are you saying that this the meeting on a Friday night, is that deraisa or deraisa?
It's a deraisa. It's a chiddush, but who said that this deraisa, which only I say, let's say it's only a positive command, could knock out Shabbos, which is positive and negative command?
You're not blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah or bringing it up, and that's why that was Rabbanan decree.
There's no issur to blow shofar. Who said you can't blow Shabbos? There's no issur deraisa to blow shofar on Shabbos. It's the Rabbanan, so they back down. Why can't you blow a shofar on Shabbos? Not as
carry.
Deraisa.
You're going to carry it.
Why? So the Rabbanan asked questions. The Rabbanan didn't have the decree on Shabbos. Your mitzvah didn't knock out Shabbos. Here, your mitzvah, the deraisa, is knocking out Shabbos. Your reaping is usually us or the regular Friday night. You someone who cuts there, they get skila, right? So it's if they're reaping with this thing, two spokes, he's getting skila, right?
Kill him.
So who told him, what should I do now? I have a mitzvah covering an arm, but it's Shabbos, I'm stuck. What do I do? Kalapasa teaches me, when are you not allowed to do, when does Hashem tell you not allowed to reap and harvest on Shabbos? What is voluntary? It's an exclusion, it's a mitzvah. Oh, very good. Now Hashem, Rabbi Shmuel showed me where Hashem told me I'm allowed to reap. Good, so that Rabbi Kiva says, what's this positive kind of we should rest? It's kind of a Shemitah. The 60th and the 8th year of Shemitah. Rabbi Shmuel said, no, it's referring to Shabbos. And why do I need a positive to teach me this 39 halachas you can't do on Shabbos? What are you telling me you can't? We're trying to tell you to take it easy. Our main point to teach you is, I want to teach you that you're only not allowed to harvest and reap voluntarily. So the exclusion of reaping for the covered omer for a mitzvah, then you're allowed to. Which means I need to tell you harvesting. I'm saying harvesting, you understand, is voluntary. So just like you can harvest, you also can't reap because they're voluntary. Only in a case where it's voluntary. So harvesting has to be referred to voluntary. So there's no such thing harvesting for a mitzvah. So saying, therefore, so what's going to say, therefore, that's why. Now I'm saying a little bit again. Now, everybody said, please, you could have a Shabbos. Remember this Gemara, so we don't have to start all over on Sunday. No, because Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, it's a long time.
We'll review it.
At least this piece of Gemara, try to keep it fresh, or before Sunday. And then, we hopefully go to the next step, see it inside, and go to, and then, because I really want to get to the Mishnah maybe on Sunday, ready? Try to keep, we'll keep a pace over here. Then we'll get, then just the next one, like a repetition of our old Gemara, just on this topic, meaning the other Gemara we're referring to, a guy who killed, he killed someone when he was chopping, voluntarily chopping for a mitzvah. It's the same thing, it's going to be the same layout again. If you could look at, also look ahead of it, it's not up here to look ahead also.
I don't know,
sorry.